WTMK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 10 fake Trump electors from Wisconsin face a civil trial next year. Pete Schwabe reports.
A Dane County judge denied a motion to throw out the case yesterday. The liberal firm of Law Forward is suing. It says the fake electors and lawyers who advised them committed a host of crimes, including impersonating a public official and engaging in a conspiracy. The judge's order comes about a week after the U.S. Justice Department filed federal criminal charges against Donald Trump for allegedly trying to overturn the 2020 election. The indictment says the plot relied on Republican electors in a handful of swing states, including Wisconsin. Last month, Michigan became the first state to charge fake electors in criminal court. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call won't say if he plans to file criminal charges here. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Election workers say they're still being harassed by people who think Donald Trump won in 2020. David Becker is with the Center for Election Innovation and Research.
They are still dealing with this stuff. They are still suffering. They are still being harassed. They're still being attacked. That's the state we're in now, in early August, 15 months before a presidential election.
Becker says Americans are eager for an outcome in the court cases stemming from 2020. When that happens, he says he hopes Republicans and Democrats come to some agreements.
That we as Americans can say, regardless of who engaged in these activities, if they are proven to be true beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law, if those are true, can't we all as Americans agree that this has gone too far, that this should never happen again?
There's a bipartisan bill in the state legislature to make it a felony to attack an election worker in Wisconsin. The head of Wisconsin's Wildlife Agency says he's happy with the state's revised wolf management plan. Nate Wegehout reports.
The latest draft says anywhere from 800 to 1,200 wolves is the right number to keep Wisconsin's wolf population healthy and sustainable. The Department of Natural Resources Board met in Viroqua Wednesday. DNR Secretary Adam Payne told the gathering the plan is based on good science. Not everyone agrees. WisPolitics quotes people at the meeting who complain about feeling left out of the process. Farmers, hunters, and conservationists all want to say. The DNR is accepting written comments through September 12th. The DNR's board is set to vote on the plan in late October. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Cream Puff Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair is getting a makeover. The state of Wisconsin will spend $12.5 million to modernize and expand the building in time for next year's fair. The pavilion is one of the oldest and busiest on the state fairgrounds. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. As part of an investigation into allegations of sexual abuse, State Attorney General Josh Call is urging a judge to unseal court documents belonging to the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Call contends that the church has not cooperated in sharing the information voluntarily. The Milwaukee Archdiocese continues to assert its position that Call's investigation exclusively singles out Catholic churches. Young professionals have it good in Milwaukee.
The city has been recognized by Forbes as a top 20 destination for young professionals, securing the 16th spot in the magazine's recent rankings. A favorable unemployment rate, median income, and affordable median home price contributed to its placement. Madison is the sole other Wisconsin city on the list, positioned at 22nd. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers take on the White Sox. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a 9-game road trip tonight in Chicago against the White Sox. First pitch at 7:10. Milwaukee's Willy Adames has struggled at the plate since getting hit in the face with a foul ball earlier this season. On Wednesday, he crushed a home run. Manager Craig Counsell's reaction.
Just happy for him, I think, as much as anything. You know, he's so important to the group and us being a good baseball team. And so, you know, it's always hard to watch players struggle a little bit.
Corbin Burns on the mound tonight for Milwaukee. NFL, Roger Goodell is coming to Lambeau Field before Monday's Packers training camp practice to officially announce the NFL draft coming to Green Bay in 2025. The commissioner will be joined by team president Mark Murphy in an event that's open to the public. Last night in New England, the Patriots losing to the Texans 20-9. The Patriots are coming to Green Bay next week for joint practice sessions. We're in Cincinnati, where the Packers take on the Bengals tonight here at Paycor Stadium, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Quarterback Jordan Love says he thinks he's going to see some playing time.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I definitely want to be out there, get some reps, just to get that feeling of being back out there, getting live reps. I definitely think it's important.
Wide receiver Christian Watson told us on the practice field he thinks the offense learned a lot from this week's sessions against the Bengals defense.
It was just super competitive out here. You know, every rep out here is like a game rep. I mean, just taking advantage of that and just going at it each and every play. You know, obviously, you know, they're, you know, a great team. We obviously want to, you know, we have goals that we want to achieve and make it to this year. So I think we did well. So I think we're in a good spot right now. Let's keep on growing.
Bengals head coach Zach Taylor on why he's excited his younger players will get a chance to face Green Bay tonight.
Well, it's just nice to not go against our own team. There's so much familiarity there that it's time for a change. And so it's good to have the Packers come to town, a really good team that we've got a lot of respect for. And so it'll be fun for our guys to ramp it up and get a chance to compete.
That's Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Friday morning.
I know,
it is
the
11th day of August.
Not that
and welcome into the Stu Daniels Show.
I am
your host,
Stu
Daniels.
You know,
it's
walking around the
almost
walking.
The weekend,
so neighborhoods to
and
walk, look at.
Weather today.
The interesting
kind of wide range.
I was remarking about
temperatures
how
only expected to get into the low 70s, way up north,
you know, the architecture
and into the mid 80s if you're down in the southern part of the state.
You know,
La Crosse today, mostly cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, high around 86. Same thing in Richland Center, mostly cloudy this morning, sunny this afternoon, high around 86. In Eau Claire today, mostly cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon.
Because
there's a chance
we
of rain after 5 p.m., high around 84.
Breathtaking,
a similar forecast for Amory.
Lake
mostly
Park,
cloudy in the morning,
Lake
sunny
Park
in the afternoon.
Homes
a chance of rain
Lake
after
Park.
5 p.m. with a high around 82 degrees.
Your mind goes to
and then up in Hayward, mostly cloudy
of, like, all these places
throughout
the
day
20s.
With a chance of rain until about 3 p.m.
And
high today in Hayward expected to be around 75 degrees.
Feel like what it must have felt.
Hey, in sports, the Brewers were off yesterday. They start a 9 game road trip
it was the
tonight
boomtown of America.
On the south side of Chicago against the White Sox. The Brewers are currently in
so
first place in the National League Central, 2.5 games ahead of the Cubs and the Reds.
Oklahoma moved here too, because everyone.
So what's going on in the news today?
From all over the country.
In the headlines.
To Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel
like
is reporting
Francisco
that
East
the Brewers
of,
may consider moving.
Is probably
they can't work out a deal
like
soon
what,
with
what,
state
you know,
and
Sandy,
local officials to fund
the
improvements
like
at American Family
and
Field.
Could
and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is updating the rules for wolf hunting
so
and trapping
right?
rules.
What would
Wisconsin
you say,
lawmakers are considering
the,
a law
20s,
to standardize fatality
was,
review boards,
like, I mean,
which study specific
well,
types
there were a
of
number,
deaths
there were like
to try to prevent them in the future.
Architects in Milwaukee at
and
the
Republican
time
lawmakers and Republican groups are moving to defend Wisconsin's legislative maps and the banning
of
absentee
in parts of Europe,
drop boxes.
Some of them German, some of them
So I think where we will start
them,
today
English
is
style.
Right. And
with
the other
a story
part of it was,
from the New York Times
you said Milwaukee
about our former president,
largest
Mr. Donald
city
Trump,
in the United States.
Well,
and
it was
the fact
largest
that,
city in the United States in 1953.
He's hurting for money
I,
these
I
days.
I remember that clearly.
This
because, well,
billionaire
was a, sort of
who
an
said
argument between
when
Pittsburgh
he first
and,
ran for president
Milwaukee as to which was
that,
10th or 11th. And
you wouldn't be able to corrupt him because he's got so much money.
And
he won't need money from anybody.
To move
so he won't
Milwaukee
do any favors for anybody
because
he doesn't need their
area
money
in the country without a major.
Well, we all know it didn't work out that way.
You know, and,
now
and, you know, we're gonna
he
move
is
on,
asking for money
this
from
part of the history
anybody and everybody.
People.
I personally
well,
get
is, we're now
emails
like, what are we,
from Donald Trump throughout the day,
and if
several
you look at the
every
list,
day,
almost every
asking me to contribute
that has
even just a dollar, just a dollar.
We were 10th or 11th.
Some of them ask for way more than that. Some of them ask for $47.
Basically,
but it just depends on which one you read
commercial air conditioning
at any given time throughout the day.
Air
but this story in the New York Times
of the cities that
says spiraling legal bills threaten Trump with a cash crunch. The former president's
well,
political orbit, including a super PAC that backs him, is already spending more than it is taking in, an unusual trajectory
you know,
this far out
in
from an
December.
Election.
Well, I mean, that,
so I wonder if this
States
is going
to
prompt some of our conservative listeners
to, the Sun Belt,
to hurry up and send him more cash.
What I'm describing
well, that's what he's asking you to do. Donald Trump's legal problems aren't just piling up. His legal bills are, too. New financial reports show
Milwaukee's
that the former president's various political committees
so
and the super PAC backing
know,
him have used roughly 30 cents of every dollar spent
was,
so far this year on legal-related costs.
Well, and actually,
total amount to
Metro
more than $27 million in
and
legal
the city
fees
of Milwaukee,
and
which
other
is,
investigation-related
you know,
bills in the first 6 months
shrunk,
of this year, according to a New York Times and analysis of federal records.
So a big reason Milwaukee has shrunk is not that they're leaving
that $27 million in legal costs includes
who otherwise have
Mr. Trump paying at least eight law firms more than $1 million each
in
the first half of 2023.
So Sandy,
part of a sizable set of legal billings expected to spiral upward
in
the coming months as his overlapping criminal cases wind their way toward courtrooms
in
New York, Florida.
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C.,
the
new disclosures revealed the remarkable degree to which Trump's political and legal cash are intermingled, much like his own political and legal
fate.
Trump's complex political orbit is already spending more than it is taking in, tapping into money it raised years ago, an unusual trajectory this far out from any election. And the burn rate raises questions about whether such an approach
of my life,
is untenable,
about wildfires
or whether Trump will eventually need
all
to dip into his own fortune
now we read
to
about
pay
them
for his lawyers,
I mean,
his 2024
Canada
campaign,
they just
or
an
both.
Island, the island of Maui, they're ongoing in California.
It is a
every
step
year. There
that
are huge
the famously tight-fisted Trump has resisted taking, even as his advisors have begun planning behind the scenes
you know,
for a potential political cash crunch
something going
months
on
before
and,
the primaries
it's causing
begin.
Us to have
Trump's not known for long-term planning,
in what
so it remains unclear how much he has focused on
be,
the intricate challenges
I mean,
of financing his campaign
attributable to
in
man,
the coming months.
Things we have done
some
to
close
the
to him say they are reassured by the fact that if he becomes the presidential nominee again,
some of it
he can rely
just,
on the Republican
did,
you
know,
Party to provide financial support.
Why is this happening?
President Trump continues to be the campaign fundraising leader due to the support from voters who recognize this as an illegal witch hunt, said Stephen Chung, a spokesman for Mr. Trump in a statement. As President Trump has said, he will spend whatever it takes to defeat the deep state
and
crooked Joe Biden.
There's a volcanic mountain on Maui.
All told, the political committees that Trump directly controls, along with the independently operated super PAC devoted exclusively to helping him, are spending more than they raised so far in 2023, largely because of his legal expenditures, the filings show.
And it's
those entities brought in $67.2 million in new donations in the first half of the year
let me ask you, Sandy,
and spent about
again,
$90 million in the same period.
About
most of the money
global warming is real.
That went to legal fees
and
did not come from new donations. The records show
point that
Save America, the PAC doing the bulk of the legal spending,
we should be
raised much of its funds
of that, right?
in the aftermath of the 2020 election and plunged $16 million into legal expenses in 2022. It's nearly been bled dry.
You know, I don't think there's
quote,
much debate anymore.
This is going
about
to be an incredibly expensive proposition.
I think the people who are on the other side of
Ben
the debate,
Raffman,
wanna,
a prominent criminal defense lawyer who is not involved,
changing
in
our
Trump's
behaviors
cases
to contend with
of Mr.
Global
Trump's
warming,
three indictments, he added, quote,
that the global
not only
warming
is he now dealing with three separate jurisdictions, and nobody really knows
globe,
which case
you know,
is going to come first,
anyway,
but they all need to be investigated, researched, and prepared. At the same time,
scientists on the
by
other
his
hand,
attorney,
most of them say no.
The fundraising
yeah,
records show that the indictments
here, what's
have been a boon in many ways,
now, and
being charged with crimes, turbocharged Trump's
and
fundraising,
the change in the CO2 in
at
the
least
atmosphere, what have
temporarily.
You. We have whether
a
this
breathtaking
is a trend that
40%
would be
of every dollar he raised
years,
online in the first
the
6 months of 2023
what's happening
came
is
in
many respects a
1 week period around his first two indictments. The Times analysis found
what's causing
peaking at nearly $4 million
saying, yeah,
the day of his first arraignment.
Accelerating its
the surge was a sign
we could decelerate
of both
that
the degree to which his fundraising had been lagging before
Luke,
the first indictment
morning,
and the intensity
Luke.
Of the support it unleashed.
Good morning.
So the more indictments, the more cash he brings in. Entering July, Trump had more cash on hand in his campaign committee, $22.5 million, than at the start of the year, and more than anyone of the rest of the 2024 presidential candidates. And Trump continues to fundraise heavily off the criminal charges, with small online donors giving at a pace that dwarfs that of every other rival, nearly $46 million
well,
in the first half of the year,
I think academia
with an average donation
under
of under $35.
I'm not sure under
but across the broader
decline,
Trump sphere,
I think that,
signs of fiscal
that, you know, we had a
strain
a couple of days
are showing.
Called
in one unusual transaction, Trump's Save America PAC asked for a refund
for
on the $60 million
like
it had transferred last year to the Super PAC,
he thought
Make America
Trump
Great Again, Inc.,
could beat these Democrats.
That was expected to cheaply pay for television ads.
Don't like
and, already
and he reached a,
12
we didn't get a
and a quarter million dollars
the
has been returned to the account
break,
that mostly
said,
pays
you know,
for
look
legal
at the
bills
women's soccer team they
in another move Trump began redirecting more of every
anthem.
Dollar raised
and somehow
into
that was
that
the
same
response
account.
To the view
Mr. Chung,
of
the spokesman
and
for
you know I'm not
Trump,
sure all those
accused
women are
Biden
Democrats.
And the Justice Department
liberal,
special counsel Jack Smith of using the government's unlimited resources to try to
and
force the Trump
the
campaign to spend,
academia.
spend,
you know, the
to defend innocent Americans
operating based
who have been targeted, end quote.
Government influence, so
Trump's 2024
much.
Campaign committee, which is separate from both
has,
the Save America PAC
and
the MAGA Inc.
There's
Super
always
PAC,
been a split
has not technically spent any money on investigation-related lawyers.
Has almost always
some experts believe doing so
sort of
would be forbidden.
And
his Save America PAC has covered such bills.
In
but
the
complex
so
web of entities
like
that make up how a modern-day presidential bid is financed is
way.
Often perceived as one big campaign apparatus,
we seem to be
even though the rules governing how each entity spends
that only
are different.
Parts of academia
for example,
might be
campaign finance rules prevent
you know,
Trump from directing the spending
theory,
by the Super PAC.
And what's being taught,
Trump's attorney fees are only expected to rise in the coming
in
months
places,
as he hurdles toward two federal
schools,
criminal trials,
to have
one in Florida, one in Washington, D.C., and a third
so,
in Manhattan. He's likely to face a fourth criminal indictment in Georgia,
academia is
and he has
assault.
Multiple
Do
civil trials
in
the coming months, too.
I hope
so,
not. I mean, academia
are you
going to
send him any money?
Is it
am I
going to
send him any money?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well,
got to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Attacks on academia. Academia is a place of freedom, spread of freedom, expression of freedom.
All right, we got a bit of a break. Thanks for the call, Luke. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show Fridays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. We'll be right back.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Own the outdoors with a Masterforce electric pressure washer. It offers incredible versatility for your cleaning applications. Its high-pressure soap cannon and quick-connect nozzles make any cleanup job easy. Right now, get a Masterforce 3000 PSI electric pressure washer for $355.99 after 11% off. Good through July 9th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 83, winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 62, partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 847-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday, and it's Friday for San Diego. Same. What is going on?
Senate go to Washington with low net worths, and they come out with high net worths. Same is true with feds. These people benefit with their masks. I think it used to be that if you were in politics, particularly if you were a judge, you were going to avoid even the appearance of impropriety. You weren't going to worry about the blind edge of the law and the ethics.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Friday morning. We've got 69 degrees in Richland Center right now. It's 68 degrees in La Crosse. Both areas looking for highs today around 86 degrees.
You're in business, and someone.
And just before the break, we were discussing.
And someone
funding
from Pfizer comes to you and says, how would you
presidential
like to
campaign
go on a
by our
trip,
former president, Donald Trump.
You're my good friend.
The fact
I
that
see
he's
you every
spending
week
way
I come
more
to the
money right now on
and,
his
and
lawyer's
would
fees
like to host you on
than
a,
he's actually
on a
taking
trip.
In.
To the,
and that's
to
why
Bimini,
he is asking his supporters
yacht.
For donations.
Now, if you took that trip, you
most
would
of
know,
his donations coming
absolutely
in
know that you were doing something
less
you
than $35. They're coming from just
and,
regular people.
And it wouldn't even be a question.
People who are sending
so,
in
you know,
money
is
from
there,
their
is there an appearance
Social
of
Security
about that?
Or pension.
And so, you know,
their paycheck.
Clarence Thomas, I guess,
and
38.
That's one way to get money, right? By
from as gifts.
By asking your supporters for small dollar donations.
Clarence Thomas. I mean, it's.
But as we know,
the other justices
there are
as well.
Millionaires,
I mean, the ones that have at least
funding
accepted gifts from
lots
third
of
parties. If
candidates,
Ruth Bader,
but also
was taking
finding out more and more every day
vacations
about
with her husband,
how billionaires
on her husband's,
have been
financed
giving
by her husband and his income. That's a different
not
story.
Not money contributions, but giving in kind donations
somebody.
To our Supreme Court justices.
Now, Sandy,
and not all of the
counting.
Supreme Court justices,
yeah, but one man,
but the most conservative
you
ones.
Know,
every day,
Clarence
we're finding
Thomas,
out more and more about Clarence Thomas and the trips that he's taken. I think it's now up to 36 or 38
wouldn't
trips
wouldn't you think he would say,
over the past 30 years that
okay.
have been funded by billionaires.
Well, and the same is true, actually,
this
of,
is a real serious
of
issue.
State courts and
you know,
the Supreme Court
do we want
speaking fees
our Supreme Court justices and or our lawmakers
events, right, which is happening more and more. You know, does that have the appearance of
cash donations
well,
or any kind of
you know, if you
contributions,
take a
even if it's
a
vacation?
To
do we want them to
a
receive
body that is
highly those
partisan,
things
that
from
has
billionaires?
Ideological views that
I mean,
will be
if they do
by the Supreme
take these
Court
vacations,
in all kinds of ways.
Or if it's
so,
a
I mean, I don't think you have to
lawmaker
stop being human
cash
being,
contributions,
so they don't have to stop voting
when they take those.
Judge.
Are
but
those billionaires expecting
and having a life
anything in return?
There's a downside
well, of course
to it, which
they are.
Is
that's
now
why
you've
they
got to live your life.
That's why they give them that money.
Like Solomon's wife. You know, you've got.
And
to
by
be
the way, if you want to join us,
reproach.
If you have a,
and
you have a
that's
an opinion
where
on anything we're discussing this
short.
Morning, feel free
the
to call
is
in.
True in the U.S.
I'd like to hear what you have
you,
to say.
You become a U.S.
The
senator.
Phone number is
715-388-7155. You need to live your life.
And you can also
above reproach.
Send me an email message if you'd like to. My email
to
address is stewmanradio@gmail.com.
The more you see
Stu is spelled
things,
with a U. And
the more
excuse me, I just did receive
start questioning
an email message from a listener
cynical.
Named Stevens,
yes, which is what
who
our
says
public
that,
has become, right? I mean,
he sent me a
Trump
link to a story that we should discuss here
about
what's going on with the Supreme Court justices.
Because,
the story is from The Hill.
So
it's by Nan Aaron. This is an opinion piece. Nan Aaron, I believe, is a lecturer
the problem is
at
we haven't
Georgetown
out what we're replace it
Law
with.
School.
What we ought to be
and
doing is
she is saying that it's
that
time to investigate the shadow network of billionaires
standards. We
funding the Supreme Court
politics.
Justices.
Half of the reason
and
we're so cynical
this
about
year
it is that we all
has
like
been a disaster
from
for
California
the Supreme Court's legitimacy
a great deal of
and
money
public
in
faith
that's
in its
6-3
conservative
so
majority.
To be cynical
near daily revelations of unseemly financial relationships between the court's conservative
the
justices and their billionaire patrons were hallmarks of another blockbuster precedent-setting, excuse me, precedent-busting term. Meanwhile, Senate
like
Republicans have obstructed Senate Judiciary
well,
Committee Chairman Dick Durbin's
politics,
attempts
nothing,
at exercising oversight
through
Judiciary Committee hearings,
so
and Congress has failed to pressure the court into adopting a formal code of conduct.
So speaking of that,
in April, Chief
Sandy,
Justice John Roberts very publicly stonewalled Senate inquiries into the court's
Purdue
ethical
Pharma.
Practices, undercutting his credibility and enhancing perceptions that today's court is corrupt, partisan
court
to its core, and unaccountable to any other branch
that
of government.
Kind of
is that the way we want it? Is that the way it should be?
Right, the
828
yes.
right now. Got to take
and
a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels
now,
Show.
Getting involved in this. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, because it really, on the one hand, settlement has been going on and they've been trying to get this worked out since 2019. And so it's a lot there to
well,
talk about. But you,
well, it's a bit like the Hunter Biden settlements.
So Sam, we got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, go ahead, Sandy. You say what?
Yeah, my wife. Okay.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. At least 55 people died in wildfires that swept across western Maui. Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
There will be grants for individuals from FEMA. There will be support for rental aid. There will be support for small businesses. And this is just a small piece of what's going to be necessary.
Five imprisoned U.S. citizens could soon be heading home from Iran as part of a prisoner swap. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
My belief is that this is the beginning of the end of their nightmare and the nightmare that their families have experienced.
A hearing is scheduled for this morning on a possible protective order for former President Donald Trump. He could face that in his 2020 election case. Noah Bookbinder is with Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics.
In this case, where Donald Trump has made clear that he has every intention to talk about prosecutors, talk about potential witnesses, it becomes more important than it would be in an ordinary case.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A judge needs to open sealed court documents from the Archdiocese of Milwaukee as part of an investigation into allegations of sexual abuse. That's the request from State Attorney General Josh Call. Call says the church has not willingly provided the information, leading him to seek a court order to compel the Archdiocese to disclose the documents. The Milwaukee Archdiocese has maintained its stance that Call's investigation exclusively targets Catholic churches. A Waukesha warning is going out regarding a rise in scam attempts. The police department says one recent scam involves impersonating We Energies and demanding payment or gift cards to avoid a power shutoff. Another fraudulent scheme involves a person claiming to be Sergeant Daly from the Waukesha Police Department demanding payment for a missed grand jury summons. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The 2023 Wisconsin State Fair is here, packed with heart-pounding rides, mouth-watering treats, and electrifying entertainment. Indulge in deep-fried delights, explore captivating exhibits, and create memories that'll last a lifetime. On now through August 13th at State Fair Park in West Allis. Grab your tickets now at wisstatefair.com. This message brought to you by Parallel Employment Group. For over 35 years, Parallel has been your partner in success. Make your career aspirations a reality. Visit parallelemployment.com today.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and The Little Ventures.
Sometimes it's all a big surprise, 'cause there
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the billionaire Sackler family, is, you know, these are the people who own Purdue Pharma and the opioid crisis that is the number one killer, Sandy, now.
Opioids.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's not something you want your name attached to. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. The $6 billion settlement that the Justice Department is intervening and asking the Supreme Court to stay the court in terms of its hand, in terms of approving the settlement, because of the fact, apparently, that it's come to light that the Sackler family, in advance of the settlement, had withdrawn from the company in the neighborhood of, I think, $12 billion that they could move into the family coffers, out of the corporate coffers, and therefore make it beyond reach of the creditors being all these people who are suing Purdue Pharma about the opioid crisis. It's in bankruptcy, we call these fraudulent transfers, where you get money out of a corporation that might otherwise be targeted by the creditors and get it into the hands of the owners of the corporation so they can walk away from a corporate bankruptcy with some money in their pockets. Same deal. This was basically Purdue Pharma's owners getting money out of the corporation so that they could walk away with a bunch of money in their pockets if the obligations from all this litigation were to render Purdue Pharma valueless, bankrupt, or at least much less value. And so that's what this is about, you know. And so I guess the Supreme Court, the Justice Department wants a court to consider whether $6 billion is an adequate settlement when there was $12 billion that left the company and went into the pockets. I think the number is $12 billion. Right. That left the company's coffers and went into the pockets of the owners and was therefore beyond the reach of the litigants. And the settlement said that the Sackler family would be immune from litigation with the payment of the $6 billion out of Purdue Pharma's coffers. And so that's what this is about, whether that $12 billion that walked away from the company and into the Sackler pockets should be actually reachable by those who want to sue the Sacklers over this whole opioid problem.
So Sandy, on the other side of it is, this has been in the courts now for 4 years, and some are saying, hey, let's just take the $6 billion. Families are hurting. You know, these resources can be used now. People need this money now, and we don't want the Supreme Court to interfere. But that's not how it works.
Well, it's not necessarily how it works, and it might be a little short-sighted on the part of plaintiffs generally. I mean, my view is that the number $6 billion isn't going to go down. It's only going to go up as the result of not approving the settlement in light of the circumstances. You know, I'm not privy to all the details here. I'm not privy to exactly how the $12 billion was moved out of the corporation. But, this is a longstanding kind of a problem in many litigations that relate to pursuit of money out of corporations, and that is this fraudulent transfer issue. Now, I'm not sure they're calling this transfer, were these transfers fraudulent transfers, but they clearly are going to attack the notion that the money was transferred out of the company in order to put it beyond the reach of the creditors who would be suing it, creditors being the plaintiffs who were pursuing Purdue.
So Purdue Pharma clearly does more than opioids. They clearly have other...
They had other drugs, but I think the history of Purdue Pharma is that OxyContin, I think, was the drug, but when they hit gold, the first gusher they hit was opioids, and they then rode the opioid horse to a lot of money and a lot of profits.
Oh, so when they talk about restructuring Purdue Pharma, they're talking about without OxyContin, probably, right?
Yeah, and restructuring usually means a reorganization, taking products, separating out the products that are made from and creating a valuable corporation out of what's left in a restructuring.
Can a company with that's tied to something like oxycodone and all these deaths, can they you know, resurrect themselves?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Corporate restructuring is done all the time. So
yeah, but these are a lot of people who died.
Well, I know, but so they restructured a variety of companies in the asbestos industry. You know, it's ongoing, and it's just something that is done by credit lawyers and bankruptcy courts. And the effort is to try and keep a business going that's employing people, right? I mean, businesses employ lots of people. It's not necessarily a good thing to have businesses go down the tubes altogether. If you can salvage the good part of the business and keep it in business, that's what capitalism wants to have accomplished. It's also what all the workers in those that occupy those jobs would like to see happen.
You know, Sandy, I want to move to President Biden asked Congress for $40 billion to support Ukraine, replenish U.S. disaster aid, and bolster the border. The border it's not going away. So Sandy, your thoughts on that? Why can't we fix that? Why can't Democrats and Republicans both come together and say, hey, let's stop playing this game? New York can't continue, and all the places where they move these people, you know, Sandy, is not ending.
Well, my question is, for particularly with respect to disaster funding and the border, why wasn't it in the budget in the first place?
Right.
You know, why do we need to go in now and seek a surcharge, essentially, a new appropriation for it? And similarly,
you mean for disaster relief?
For disaster relief, you know, normally those kind of things are funded like an insurance policy, right? You keep funding them, even, and you excessively fund them in years when there aren't disasters.
Because you know they're going to come.
And you dip into those funds because that's what insurance is all about.
Right.
If you fund them on an ongoing basis, it's a little bit different, and you can have real, real big upswings and downswings and expenditures and more volatility. You know, my questions about all of them is that, you know, is it, we don't really have a bottomless pit in terms of money. And for instance, the ongoing, I think it was $13 billion was the number asked now for Ukraine and additional funding. And it keeps coming every month. And I think the issue is going to be whether our Congress continues to believe that Ukraine is of such strategic importance to the United States that we will continue to fund it at these extraordinary levels, because it is very extraordinary. That, you know, when you start totaling up the number, we're going to get to $200 billion in the space of a foreseeable future in terms of the amount of money that we might have sent off in that direction. It was over $100 billion some little while ago. We haven't yet run an audit. And we do know that Ukraine remains a corrupt place. Zelensky, apparently, as you informed me this morning, just this morning, I guess, announced the firing of a whole bunch of people associated with their military and their drafting into the military because of corruption, because of money that wasn't getting to where it was supposed to get.
You know, Sandy, it really does make you pause and again, question why these things are tied together. Now, you know, the disaster relief, as you stated, should have nothing to do with money.
Well, disaster relief, either we're going to fund it, like I said, like an insurance, or we're simply going to self-fund ourselves on an experience basis and view the country as a big enough risk pool so that it kind of evens out year after year. And that would be okay too. So, but we shouldn't be worrying too much about disaster funding.
Right.
You know, that's something
because we have to have that.
We have to have it as a country, and I guess we have to be careful about exactly what we declare a disaster. And we shouldn't maybe be restoring floodplain areas to the position where they can continue to have homes there.
Florida.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so that you continue to create claimants for the next flood that you know is going to happen. So, you know, we need to be smart about our disaster money, but yeah, you know, that shouldn't be a matter of much dispute in terms of funding for that.
But this then, Sandy, creates the things that many of us, the average American citizen, does not understand about our government, the complexities of it, where things are intertwined that should not be intertwined. There should be no question that the money going to Ukraine being tied into disaster relief, I would say no way in the world those two things should even be mentioned in the same breath. But that's how our government works, right? I mean, that's
sure,
how...
Sure, yeah, yeah. I mean, you try to slip in things that might be controversial with something that's an absolute requirement and tie them together and get people to vote on it. Sure, that's what's going on here. You know, but my view of the whole situation is we've got all these things that are happening. We've got disasters like Lahaina and Maui, and we've got Ukraine where we're sending money without much debate. And meanwhile, we aren't solving our domestic problems. We aren't solving our health care system.
Right, right.
We aren't solving daycare. We aren't solving the problems of Tom, Dick, and Mary. None of these things are focused on Tom, Dick, and Mary. And to me, that's the problem, and that's the problem with our current political process too. Are we talking about Tom, Dick, and Mary when we talk about Donald Trump and the Republican nomination? No, and so you know we just have trouble getting our country to focus on the problems of the people of America.
So let's and before we go to break, I want to focus even more on Ukraine and what is transpiring there, because you projected over a year ago our commitment. What is going to be our commitment? On these airways, you asked,
yeah,
what is going to be our commitment before we got this
well,
heavily
my,
involved?
My
in
point
it.
Was sort of the Henry Kissinger real politic thing. Do we have a real strategic interest in Ukraine such that we will open our pocketbook willingly because we all know that it's so important to us that we will do any and all things to defend Ukraine? And the fact was that we that isn't our position, and it's why we haven't got Ukraine in NATO, because we know that we wouldn't abide by Article 5 or wouldn't want to abide by Article 5 if Ukraine stubbed its toe with Russia down the road. It's why we don't and shouldn't let Ukraine into NATO now, because it would commit us to putting boots on the ground and fighting over Ukraine. It's just an area of suspect about our real strategic interest.
All right, hold the thought, Sandy. Got to go to a break. Tom, we'll come to you on the other side. Tune into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be back.
Cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
app. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 83. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 62, partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. My co-host Sandy Williams is here. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, first off, Earl, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. But right now, of course, with money and politics, it doesn't seem like we are the government. It's corporations that basically are running the government. Sandy talks about the issues of the day, which I totally agree with him in terms of child care, mortgage, health care, and taxes. But we don't talk about those things at all because the billionaires have us fighting each other over other issues like Donald Trump every single day. That's because of lobbyists. That's because of lobbyists, and that's because of money and politics. I do want to say the Republicans in power are the Antichrist. They just are. They show it every single day. And they make people not want to actually even call themselves Christians. So the other thing I want to say is that the Sackler family, I don't see this as a good thing that the Supreme Court is stopping this thing right now, because I think that there's a way that Purdue Pharma is going to get out of this, which I'd recommend everyone watch the movie Dope Sick or the series Dope Sick on Hulu, because you'll see all about the Sackler family and the whole OxyContin issue that happened. That's all I got today, Earl, but I find it interesting that all of a sudden the Republican callers that are calling in, I can always tell what's going on right-wing media for people like CJ and stuff, because I don't have to watch it, one. But I can always tell because it kind of goes in a cycle. Like, I haven't heard them talk very much about immigration lately. So I'm sure that that's not what they're talking about. Or I can always tell when they're talking about Hunter Biden, because all of a sudden that's what they're talking about. It's really amazing how it is that the propaganda that is in this country has just taken people that are probably very, very smart people, like Gary and Dave and TJ and people like this, but they just really are being bamboozled, and they're being, just suckers for, supporting Donald Trump.
Hey,
and supporting the Republican Party. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, as always. Hey, Sandy, let me get back to Ukraine and where this thing is headed. You talked about quagmires. We just got out of that 20 years with Afghanistan and, 15, 17, 18 with Iraq. you're not looking for this thing to end soon. And you said that Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with our foreign involvements is we seem to have a rationale for getting in, but we don't have an end game analysis. We don't have a strategic interest. When we don't have a real strategic interest someplace, we end up carrying out essentially military adventures, whether directly or indirectly, that don't have an end game. And without an end game, we end up in quagmires. We end up in places. For instance, this war between Russia and Ukraine has a long history behind it. And there's a long history behind the people involved in it. And our critical strategic interest in Ukraine is not at the same level as our critical strategic interest in many other parts of the world. And yet we decided, I think, on sort of a knee-jerk Cold Warrior kind of a basis that we were going to be against whatever Russia's interest was, and we were going to introduce ourselves into this geography which Russia would claim to be its area of hegemony, right? The old USSR area,
right?
Which clearly is an area of Russian hegemony. At the collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia was definitely not just on its knees, it was crawling for probably a decade. But it has clearly resurrected itself in many ways, at least militarily. And it is, of course, the largest nuclear power in the world. And so it's a force to contend with. Similarly, China has now hegemony, which we need to understand and figure out the extent to which we're going to respect it. We exert our hegemony over the world. And so Ukraine, I believe, is going to be viewed as become more and more controversial in Congress because of the fact that our strategic interest in Ukraine is not clear and not apparent and was not clearly identified. We can talk ideologically about defending democracy, but beyond that, what is our, in fact, direct strategic interest in Ukraine? And you know, we have trouble painting that interest other than the interest we would have in any place in the world that has any kind of natural resources.
So forgive me if I'm using the wrong verbiage, but now that we've spoon-fed them, Ukraine, to get into this position where they are not going to be able to sustain any of this without us, we've kind of opened up a Pandora's box
that was what we talked about at the beginning of the conflict, which was if this is not an area of real strategic interest to us, and if
we've hurt them.
And if that means we're going to pull out eventually or withdraw eventually our aid, then we have put them in the position of sacrificial lambs. We have put them into a world of danger by giving them the false belief that they could stand up to Russia.
Right.
They knew they couldn't stand up to Russia without a great deal of foreign assistance. Without the promise of that foreign assistance, they will have lost hundreds of thousands of men and women in this war and decimated their economy and decimated their infrastructure. And for what if in fact we aren't going to stay in it? And the fact is that I think it was very predictable that the extent of the appetite of the West to support Ukraine was finite, okay? And I suspect that Russia and Putin knew that as well, and they're holding on and testing it. Right now, the war in Ukraine is a quagmire that is fighting in a very limited geographic region where hundreds of thousands of people are dying in essentially a World War I-style combat.
Hey, Sandy, and we aren't going to stay in it.
Well, I would be surprised if 5 years from now we continued to have an appetite.
Wow, you're talking 5 years.
Well, 3 years. I mean, wow. You know, I mean, this war could, at its current rate, this war is definitely going to go on. I'm confident that it's going to go on past the 2024 election, okay?
Wow. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.